place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample on your feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Seek ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, Why? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Here endeth the reading. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus, I will ponder now on thy holy passion.
From the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and his disciples just left the Passover banquet. It was very late at night, and they had to walk through the town down into the Kidron Valley, which is the valley that on the western side of the valley is Jerusalem, on the eastern side is the Mount of Olives. And then they had to trudge a little ways up that hill or mountain until they came to a place called Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane is an Aramaic word. It means olive press, right? And it was a place that had olive trees around, and it was a garden surrounded by a stone fence, probably had a gate. And this is one of the places where Jesus would often go when he was in Jerusalem, because it was secluded. It was away from the crowds of Passover or whatever festival was going on. And it was quiet. And so the disciples would often stay there with Jesus. So they come into Gethsemane, and Jesus says to the bigger group of his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." So they all sit down. And then he takes with him Peter and James and John, the two brothers, sons of Zebedee. He takes them further into the garden with him. And now it's important to notice that there are numerous occasions in the Gospels where Jesus takes Peter and James and John and brings them into things that he wants them to be eyewitnesses of. The Transfiguration, for example, and other things. So by Jesus telling them to come a little further into the garden with him, he has a twofold purpose. Number one, he wants them to observe him in his agony and in his passion. And secondly, he wants some company, right? And these are his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. So it says that as they went further into the garden, Jesus began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And the import of these words is that Jesus became so agitated and upset that it showed through his whole person. And it was obvious to the disciples that he was in an extreme state of turmoil. And he says to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here with me and watch. All right, now, notice what Jesus says here. I am exceeding sorrowful even unto death. That means that the consternation and the sorrow that he felt was so intense that he felt as though he were drawing near to death. And what's going on here? Well, Jesus is in the process of taking our sins upon his holy person. He is going to make an exchange. He is going to take our sins and our punishment upon himself, and he is going to give us in return his righteousness and eternal salvation as a free gift. But you can imagine how the Holy Son of God must have experienced the reality of taking the sins of the world upon himself. Remember that Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. If anyone ever deserved to live, it was he. And yet he was willingly taking upon himself sin and death in order to redeem us from sin and death. And so we see him. His disciples notice that he is filled with sorrow and consternation. And he himself says to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he asked them to stay here with me and to keep watch with me. Then he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now notice, there is in this verse only the desire upon Jesus, in Jesus' mind, that if there is any other way to redeem the human race, could it be possible that that could be done? If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup in the Old Testament, particularly in the prophets, when God is angry with a nation or a people, he often speaks of giving them the cup of his wrath and forcing them to drink it to the full. And this is a metaphor in the Old Testament prophets for God punishing rebellious, impenitent, and disobedient peoples. So they will take the cup of my wrath and they will drink it up fully. So that's behind what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, is there any other way other than me taking the cup of wrath which belongs to them and drinking it for myself on their behalf? And then he quickly says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In other words, Jesus is not trying to shirk anything. He is not trying to change God's mind. But these words are said that we might know that in order for the human race to be redeemed and saved, this is necessary. And so he is resigning himself to the will of God. Then he comes to his disciples and he finds them asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? To watch is to be alert. And not only physically, but to be spiritually alert. In biblical terms, watch and pray are kind of two sides to the same coin. One must be alert to the presence of temptation and trouble. And then, being alert to these things, one prays to the Heavenly Father for help in such times of trouble. And so he says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And then he shows concern for their souls. The first sentence, could you not watch with me 1 hour, shows his loneliness. So that we may see in the midst of all of this that when we focus our faith, we are to focus it solely upon Jesus, not upon saints, not upon apostles, not upon the church, right? But upon Jesus. He is the Savior. And he had to face this ordeal all alone. He craved the support and fellowship of his disciples, but they had full bellies from the banquet. Their hearts were filled with consternation from all of the things that Jesus had been talking to them. It was very late at night. And you know how it is when somebody tells you, now you better not fall asleep. Right? The first thing you want to do is nod off and fall asleep. It's human nature. And so here are these disciples, and Jesus wants and needs their support, but they keep falling asleep and they are utterly useless to him. So he says to them, listen, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You see, these guys are sad, they're tired, they're worn out, but they have no idea what's going to be unleashed upon them in the coming moments. And they have no idea what's coming. And so Jesus says to them, in concern for their well-being, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. You know, the devil never comes to you when you're on the lookout. The devil always sneaks up on you when your mind is on something else. When you are busy and preoccupied over here, he suddenly sneaks in over here and catches you off guard. You know, the very thing that you said, I'm never going to make that mistake again, right? You certainly will make that mistake again. Why? Because you can't pay attention all the time. And while you're thinking over here, here it comes. Boom. The same temptation. And you're off guard. You're thinking about something else. And all right. And you fall. Right? That's the way it so often happens in our lives. That's why Jesus stresses the necessity of keeping watch, being alert, and praying so that you do not enter into temptation. And then he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got this dichotomy going on inside of us. On the one hand, we have been born again by the Holy Ghost through holy baptism. And because of this, we have a new creation in us. We have new hearts and new minds. We have new desires and new loves and new motions that the Holy Spirit has begun in us. But at the same time, we drag around what Luther called this old maggot sack. Right? And the flesh is weak. And the flesh is prone to sin and temptation. And so Jesus shows us what it is like to be us as long as we live in this world. We have a willing spirit by the grace of God and the gift of God. But we have to be careful because we got the flesh that is constantly dragging us down. Our sinful natures are weak. And therefore we need to be vigilant and we need to be prayerful so that we do not succumb to the flesh and fall into temptation. He went away again the second time and he prayed and he said, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Now notice the progression of thought here. In the earlier prayer, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. Here, he is much more resigned to the will of God. And he says, if this cup cannot pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And so here, Jesus, in his prayers to the Lord, has grown stronger. He comes to his disciples again and they're asleep again. He doesn't even bother waking them up. He just leaves and goes back and he prays a third time saying the same words. A prayer does not need to be long and ornate in order to be effectual. All right? These prayers are very simple and they're very short. But they were prayed with a heart filled with faith. And the result upon Jesus was that each time he returns from prayer, he is somewhat stronger in spirit. So, it says he prayed using the same words. And we can learn by this. You know, sometimes people think, oh, if I just say something from memory, like the Lord's Prayer or Martin Luther's morning prayer or evening prayer, that's not as spiritual as if I really kind of express my heartfelt desires. Well, sometimes your heartfelt desires are not worth expressing. And it's better to say a short prayer that contains truth and a good, solid content than it is to just let your emotions. There's nothing wrong with letting your emotions express themselves in prayer. I'm not saying that, right? But, you know, sometimes people think that brief prayers are not spiritual prayers. You gotta add lots of scripture quotes. You gotta add lots of feeling. You gotta really mean it. You know, all that stuff. And then if you really meant it, and you don't just pray, Dear Lord, help me. You pray, Dear Lord, help me. Right? And then God will go, what? Oh, there you are. And you got it, my friend, because you are a bundle of sincerity. Anyway, so Jesus offers these three brief and similar prayers, and he is heard for his godly prayers and his sorrows and his crying and his tears. So when he comes back the third time and sees his disciples resting, he now is all right, sleep on, right? Go ahead, keep on sleeping. And then a moment later, he can hear the crowd coming up the side of the hill. And he says to the disciples, the hour is at hand. Into the hands of sinners, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. Get up, let's be going. He is at hand that doth betray me. Now the disciples are not sleepy anymore. Now they are up, they are confused. They are unready for what's going to happen to them, but Jesus is ready. He is now confident of the will of God, and he is determinedly willing and desirous. You know, in one of the Psalms it says, "Sacrifices and offerings thou hast not desired, but I have come, O God, to do thy will." And it is the will of God, the very purpose for which Jesus was sent into the world, that he was to give his life as the saving ransom for the sins of the world. And so now Jesus is ready to face whatever comes. And the disciples, well, over the next couple of days, they're going to hang on by the skin of their teeth. But what can we take away from this here? The most important things are these. Number one, that this is the plan of God for the redemption of the world. And Jesus desires to do this will of God. And he prays to his heavenly Father to strengthen him in the doing of God's saving, gracious will. And so we see our salvation and spiritual well-being forever is located in this person of Jesus, who is bound and determined to fulfill the holy will of his Father. And so Jesus is our Savior. And then the other thing is we see the contrast between Jesus on the one hand earnestly watching and praying and trusting in his heavenly Father and dealing with feelings that I don't think we've ever felt in our lives. And yet he comes through in the end strengthened. The Gospel of Luke says that at one point he sweat great drops of blood, and then when it was over, the angels came and ministered to him. And so Jesus is now ready and determined to do the will of God. The disciples, not so much. And they are going to be tested and tried over the next few days. They will fail. They will deny the Lord. They will not come out looking very well. But in the end, Christ's redeeming work covers their sins, our sins, the sins that were committed many centuries ago, and the sins that we have committed even on this ordinary day of days. Jesus is our Savior. We need a Savior. We need God's help. We need to learn how to pray as Jesus prayed, to watch and pray so that we do not follow the flesh and yield to temptation, but to let our spirit be guided by the word and promises of the gospel. Amen.
Let my prayer be set before thee as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands, God of the evening sacrifice.
Lord,
thou lettest of thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word.
For
mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of thy dear Son dost again during the present Lenten season graciously and earnestly offer to us forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation, we beseech thee, give us thy Holy Spirit, that we may not presumptuously or lightly set at naught the offer of thy grace and mercy, but follow thy gracious invitation with joyful obedience, and by holiness of living give thee continual thanks and praise, through Jesus Christ thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We beseech thee, O Lord, by the mystery of our Savior's fasting and temptation, to endow us with the same mind that was in him toward all evil and sin, and give us grace to keep our bodies in such holy discipline that our minds may always be ready to resist Satan and obey the promptings of thy Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.